and welcome once again.
Hail Hydra.
Crazy comics and stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And on the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe, crazy writer.
Crazy Hydra.
You know, after getting caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I don't know if I want to be in Hydra anymore, Joe.
I haven't watched this week's.
Does Hydra give you a lanyard?
They don't even give you the cool bee helmet yet. Or is that AIM?
That's AIM.
Oh, well, I'd rather be with AIM. Hail AIM!
If I don't get a lanyard, I'm not joining.
Oh.
How you doing today, Joe? Well, there you go.
Yeah. How'd you spend your Easter, you?
You what?
I called you.
I spent Easter the way I always spend Easter.
In the closet with your A to Z Alice Cooper records, a pinup of Christina Hendricks, and a quart of chocolate soda, eating the latest pie you got at half price the night before from Baker Square?
No! Oh. I watch zombie movies.
Oh! You know, Jesus wasn't a zombie.
I don't know. He came back from the dead.
He's more of a lich.
Mm. But today's the best holiday of all. Half-price candy day, Joe.
Mm. Just what a diabetic...
I got a grocery bag of diabetes-inducing candy for $20.
That's the best way to do it.
Although, I will be uploading a picture tomorrow...
Of your belly.
Nope.
Oh.
They have ruined, I tell you, Halloween candy. I mean, Easter candy.
Well, and Halloween candy, but.
Well, it's because the Halloween candy has infested the Easter candy.
Yeah. I think what.
They are selling
Halloween candy. Just turns different colors, and then they just say, okay, well, I guess this is Easter color.
They are selling candy corn.
Mmm.
Or Easter, calling it Easter corn. Now, we all know no one eats candy corn. They made a batch.
I use them as cones and when I play with my little Hot Wheel cars so I can do slalom courses.
They made a batch 120 years ago and they keep repackaging it and selling it because people will buy it and they put it out and nobody eats it because it tastes like candle wax.
Mm.
Eventually people throw it out and they have agents who go through the garbage who take it all out and sell it again. Cause even on Halloween, when there was the family that had the candy corn and they'd give you the candy corn, you only got the candy corn from them once because you'd actually do not visit that family ever again. I'd turn to mom and go, we can't go visit the dairies. What? Cause they give candy corn. And that's just wrong. It's evil and it's wrong and it must stop. So instead, I got my Peeps. I got my jelly beans. I got my chocolate Easter bunny, which now the chocolate Easter bunny, they're very helpful. They tell you what part to eat first. So you don't have to break it on your own. No, it's manufactured so it breaks properly. The kids are getting dumber. They don't know how to break their chocolate bunnies, Joe. Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just ordering some half-price Halloween candy.
Man, the day after a candy holiday is the best
thing. It is good. Ribbon candy. Kids love ribbon candy.
I have not seen ribbon candy in years.
I haven't seen it since my grandma passed.
Where they sell it. Do they still sell it?
I don't think they sell the good stuff anymore. Just the cheap, thin stuff. You know, I mean, the old ribbon candy you used to have, you could put in your mouth and you just could not press it. And if you did break it, it was like glass shards and would take out your gums.
Well, and your grandma had it in the candy dish and it had been there all summer. So it had fused into one giant mass.
Mmm. Which brings us back.
But this isn't a candy podcast.
Oh, no,
is it?
We're not talking about Easter either.
We're talking about funny books, comics, stuff that rots your mind. So I read a comic this week that got me thinking, Joe.
What was the title? The Smurfs?
Moon Knigget.
Okay, let me sit back and get comfortable while you explain to me what Moon Knigget is.
Well, it's Moon Knight, except, you know, we have to throw in the Monty Python joke.
Knigget. That's okay, I didn't understand that joke till about a year ago.
Really? And you have the same problem I have, where you know words because you've seen them, but you've never heard anyone pronounce them. So when you pronounce them wrong, and people look at you like you're an idiot. Mm. And it's, I don't know anyone who says that word out loud.
When you work TSA, that's pretty much year-round.
Yeah. So I read the first two issues of the Warren Ellis Moon Knight, which I think is the seventh volume of the character. And they're good stories. Don't get me wrong. They're good stories. I like them. But it didn't have to be Moon Knight in the stories, other than a couple exposition panels explaining the character and giving a little background. Could have been a Batman story. Could have been a Punisher story. Could have been the dare-seeking devil, whatever they're calling the character over in Dynamite. It could have been a Shadow story. It could have been a story of the Spider. And they've just rebooted the character like 7 or 8 times. And then I read the first issues of the new Ultimate line.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked Ultimate Spider-Man 200, liked it a lot. Read the first issue of the Ultimates and really didn't much see any difference between it and any other Ultimate comic. And Ultimate Fantastic Four, haven't got yet. Then over at the Dynamite, you know, they have
Dynamite!
The public domain heroes they're using. Mm-hmm. And they've just signed somebody to come in and revamp those and start them over, which maybe the shortest time between a book being introduced for the first time and a all-new, all-different revamp version coming out. The Marvel UK line came out and did a belly flop with the final issue selling around 8,000 copies.
Ooh, to be rare.
Don't think we're going to be getting that Motormouth series, Joe. So I have a question for you, Mr. Comic Taylor.
Yes.
Has there ever?
And you mean the ever?
Ever? Been a comic line that has come out, kind of fallen apart and failed. They hit the reset button, and it does well. Has that ever happened?
Well, X-Men's probably the prime example. I mean, it sucked. It came back as reprints, and then it came out, and it kind of sputtered along until Chris Claremont and John Byrne got a hold of it, and then they've never looked back. Batman,
okay, that was...
I mean, we've talked about that before. Batman, heck, I remember selling an entire run of 80s Batman for a quarter apiece and being damn glad I got it. And then the next year, Dark Knight came out, and everything Batman went insane. And then, of course...
But really, on Batman, they didn't do a reboot.
And that actually, well...
And it wasn't a whole line of books.
They did.
I'm talking
no,
like...
No, they did,
Marvel
because that was, that was the time when they first come out, and Jason Todd was basically almost a mirror image of Dick Grayson, and he got adopted. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they decided, nope, Jason Todd was a thug trying to jack the hubcaps off the Batmobile, and Batman liked him. You know, and that was that whole, you know, which is really weird because they had this really cool story back when Batman was going between Batman and Detective, where Bruce Wayne was trying to adopt him and some other chick was trying to take Jason Todd away. And, you know, it led to certain types of, one-shot panels that were wonderful, like in Teen Titans, I think 50, when, Donna Troy was getting married and there was a scene where the girls were all giggling and said, who are those two hunks out on the balcony out there? And it was, Dick and Bruce both talking, and they were talking about, Dick was kind of like, why didn't you ever adopt me? And he said, well, you know, kind of different priorities, but, you know, I'm trying to adopt Jason, but you got to remember, you were closer to me than any son ever has been. And of course, they rebooted that and threw it away, but. So yeah, no, those are more, yeah, that's kind of a, that was kind of a character reboot. X-Men again, that was kind of, it went away and came back.
I think the, after Crisis, we could probably call that a success.
They got definitely more attention out of Superman, especially because John Byrne did that whole revamp. Not that it matters anymore because, you know.
And thinking about it, the new 52, you know, we may not like it, but sales wise, it's still, you know, 2.5 years in, almost 3 years in, it's still going. But I was thinking more like Marvel 2099, New Universe, the Impact Universe over at DC, World's Greatest Comics at Dark Horse, the endless reboots that Rob Liefeld would do to try and get sales on his stuff. They don't ever seem to work that I can recall.
If anybody is going to C2E2, Mark Stegbauer's got a really cool Ramen Groot print that he'll be selling.
I am Groot.
I am Groot. There's a good reboot. I mean, who ever thought that old Tales of Astonish people would actually care about anymore?
Well, Groot did show up in the Marvel Universe a couple of times. He fought the Hulk in one of my favorite Hulk annuals, where Hulk spent the entire annual fighting old Kirby monsters like Zax and Groot and, what's the one, the hill, the mountain that moved like a man and.
Oh. And those are great.
But were there any of those, you know, where they had a small line of books where, okay, we're hitting the reset button, where you really, well, I could think of one, Joe.
What's that?
That you liked, and I, you know what? You're an Ultraverse collector. Did you like it when Marvel came in and said, okay, reboot, we're changing everything. We're starting over, new number ones, new everything.
I remember that because they dropped the price. It didn't help.
I always would point to that when people would say, you know, if they dropped the price of these comic books, they'd sell better. It's like, I don't know. They dropped the price on all the Ultraverse books and they sold worse because they went from $1.95 to $1.50 and their sales just plummeted.
Yeah.
And in most cases, they had the exact same creative teams.
I can't think of anything that rebooted like that, that might have actually been better.
I know with 2099, when they rebooted that and then they did the 2099 Unlimited and all that, I was only buying a couple. I was buying Fantastic Four 2099, Spider-Man 2099, and I think by then I was just down to those two. And then they did the reboot and it was, okay, Fantastic Four 2099's gone. And Spider-Man 2099 without Peter David sucks. Mm-hmm. And I never read the Marvel UK, so I don't know if that reboot was any good.
It got a little mileage just because of the shiny chrome covers and, you know, people are curious. The most popular one was the Death Head 2. But after that, it just kind of disappeared into like the same vast pile that Image had, you know, death this, blood that, you know. And also the fact that, as again, with the exception of Peter David on Hulk, it kind of existed in its own little netherverse. It never really crossed over into the mainstream Marvelverse.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what killed it, because then it was like just a pocket area you could ignore.
And that's one of the things that editor Tom Brevoort talks about. It's, we could put out the greatest comic there is. We could have Alan Moore and Alex Ross put out a comic that blows, you know, blows everything away. But if it doesn't tie in with the rest of the Marvel Universe, readers pretty much ignore it at this point because they want to follow the universe. And granted, there are a few things, but even Spider-Man, which kind of sits off in its own little world, it still ties in with things so that it feels important.
Mm.
And in the, Superior Spider-Man, oh, the Avengers are helping and all of these other characters are showing up. It feels like a big deal. I have my own theory as to why that is, but.
And that is?
I think when you're paying $3.99 for a funny book, you want it to feel like a big deal. It's like when I go to a movie. I recently watched the movie Enough Said, which is James Gandolfini and Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Hmm.
It was a good movie.
Cool.
If I would have gone to a movie theater and spent $15 to watch it on a Saturday night, I would have been pissed off because, well, it was good, but it wasn't worth $15. When I spend $15, I want something big. I want something that, you know, I want to be taken on this huge emotional roller coaster. I don't want a nice little comedy drama about, you know, basically 2 hours of interesting character building. And I think with comics, if you're going to spend $4, you know, you want the big burger, the massive fries, and the dessert. You don't just want a nice sandwich. I haven't had supper yet. I'm
sorry. Yeah, I know. I've got a Milky Way here. I'm thinking about eating, but, you know, you've talked to me about eating during the podcast. So
yes.
I'm trying to be strong.
Well, that'll be a first.
It will be.
And I don't expect it shall last.
However.
Anyway.
However, SpringCon Comic Book Celebration. May 17th and 18th will give you 840 minutes of comic book fun. Now that's lasting power. How many
tons and tons and tons of bargain boxes that I will be digging through.
And it's only $12 to get in the door.
Only $12?
Yeah, and if you bring it.
But what if I want to pay three times that much for one day?
We're not going to let you. Matter of fact, we're even going to insist that you bring a can of food for the food shelves and they'll give you $1 per person. And if you're under 9, you get in free. And if you want to volunteer, you can get in free. There's all sorts of ways to get in free. Heck, we might even have some tickets to be given away this here podcast pretty soon.
What?
I'm not going to say anything else. I am going to say, though, the guest list has exploded. The dealer's list is set in place with over 100,000 square foot of extreme comic book action. And this is going to be comic book action. We're not talking media tie-ins or you know, cool celebrities you got to pay mega bucks to go see. A lot of the things will be free panels, free autographs, free parking. There'll be a comic book show. There'll be charity fundraising. Matter of fact, Corey and I are proud to have fifth or sixth annual.
Oh, I don't
know. We stopped counting. But we run a charity / rummage sale, where we are actually actively soliciting donations from you, the listener. And because 100% of proceeds we raise for charity go to the charities, you can take a tax deduction depending on how badly you want to cheat Uncle Sam. Not that we're advocating that, but it's up to you. And the charities we're given to will be the Minnesota Lupus Foundation and the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, both fine, fine organizations, which we'll talk about later. And of course, for those lucky people who get in line early, they will get the infamous MCBA grab bags. I believe, 500 the first day, 250 the second. An admission at $12 is good for both days. So you got quite a good deal. At SpringCon, Comic Book Celebration, May 17th and 18th. And the reason I bring that up is because
yes.
I am feeling weak because I actually am looking.
Well, then go to the gym and start lifting some weights, buddy.
No, I'm
it's squat time.
Thinking there is another comic book con coming 2 weeks before the MCBA.
Meh.
And I may have to take one for the team and spend $35 to go
for one day.
One day. Because, you know, I don't have the money to get in, you know, pay $40 for Friday, $40 for Saturday, or get a mega package to pay pretty much the same for all 3 days. And, you know, that's Wizards World's throwing a Comic-Con 2 weeks before the MCBA's at the Minneapolis Comic or Convention Center.
Well, hold on. I'm okay with you talking about it, but don't call it a Comic-Con.
Well, yeah, it's not really because
it's a media con. Yeah, okay.
It's just, it's like what San Diego's sort of turning into, because what's happening is they have tons of big name, and I got to admit it, guests that I would actually like to see. I mean, I talked about it when I was in Las Vegas two years ago when I went to the Star Trek con and William Shatner was there, but you would have had to pay extra to go get a meet and greet with him. I would have done it maybe even for George Takei, who was there as well. But
oh my.
But again, they were there days that I couldn't go. I could only go one of the 4 days they were open. And Shatner's going to be at this con. And I'm going to kind of take a sidebar here because unfortunately, and I guess I'll count this as an early freaking, I can't go see Shatner because I'm working the 2 days he's there. He's going to be there Friday night and Saturday morning. Now, we just bid at work to change shifts. Every 6 months, they like to shake us up and bid new work locations. And it's one of those mythical government things where they think, you know what? If we have a new bid and we put everybody on a new schedule, that'll automatically solve the problem that we don't have enough people to man the checkpoints we have. Good idea. So that anyways, I am switching from, if you've ever been through Minneapolis, we've got two terminals, the big terminal, the Deltaverse. And we say that because Delta pretty much runs the place. They're terminal one. I'm bidding over to the smaller terminal, terminal two. Stick with me, folks.
Which is the Ultraverse.
This will tie back to William Shatner. It could very well be because I know a lot of people, they say once you've bid and you've gone over to Terminal 2, you never want to go back to the big terminal. So I'm going to get to actually do that. So if you happen to be traveling out of Terminal 2, I'm working 10-hour days, like noon to 10:30 at their second checkpoint. So stop by, say hi, and I'll say, hey, good to meet you. Keep moving. Take your shoes off. I don't care. Anyways.
Get in the machine so I can see your junk.
The point being is William Shatner will be leaving Saturday night, my guess. I can't believe he would necessarily stay overnight and leave Sunday morning, but he'll probably leave out of the Terminal 1 because he'll probably first class out of Delta. I mean, he's Shatner. He gets that treatment. Maybe he'll take that experimental government thing. Oh, no, I can't talk about that. Anyways, a friend of mine,
give him mutant powers.
We were talking about, you know, just the different, you know, he said he had an interesting Shatner story and he was talking about how he was working at the ticket counter and he was, you know, it was one of these ticket places, you know, where you show your ID and your boarding pass before you go into security. And he had two lines, one normal mortals and the other, you know, Delta's Sky Priority, the people who pay megabucks to fly on Delta. And some lady, he's not really looking up or looking at anything. He's just kind of, okay, you come over, check it off, you know, and we have a certain thing we're looking for on there. And then he calls someone from the first class line over and all of a sudden someone from Delta comes, I got a VIP coming through. The marching orders are, you know, one from the regular line, one from the VIP line, back and forth and back and forth. And this guy's kind of, well, I have my orders. I have to keep doing it back and forth. And the lady just kind of looked at him. With her eyes open and her mouth kind of, oh. So he calls someone over from the regular line and that person's got his eyes wide open and he's looking over and he just kind of takes his ID, does it. And then he looks back to the other person, takes the next first class person and that person's eyes are wide open. And he's kind of looking behind him and he's kind of wondering. He looks at his ID, boarding pass, takes another person from the regular line. And their eyes are wide open and they're kind of, and he's like, what is going on here? And then he looks over and sure enough at his podium with his elbow on the podium and his hand at his chin is William Shatner staring right at my buddy. And he's like, I'm sorry, Mr. Shatner. I didn't realize it was you. He's like, no worries. Shatner was just having a grand old time watching, you know, as this guy totally blows him off to take these other people who are just aghast that they're being moved in front of Shatner. And he's just, he just kind of laughed. And, you know, I mean, Shatner's a normal everyday dude, you know, he's just having fun with it. No big deal. Anyways, I won't get to see Shatner as he leaves Saturday night because he's there Friday, Saturday at Wizard World. See, we've kind of done a big circle here. Although Wizard World must be worried because they just announced they're bringing in Matt Smith. And they have a deal. Karen Gillan was there, you know, and of course she's upcoming in Guardians of the Galaxy. And she was there just Saturday only. But now they've, Sunday morning, they're doing a special get together for, with Matt Smith and Karen. So you can go in and have a dual photo ops opportunity for a mere $350.
Oh, is that it?
Well, you know, Shatner was actually, what did we figure? 250? 200?
Something like yeah. that.
And, you know, there are other people there too that you can go meet if you want. I mean, Gilbert Gottfried will be there. Maybe he'll give you the apprentice joke, you know, I mean, I'm just looking down the list. Ralph.
I'm going to give my opinion.
Ralph Macchio. Oh, Lou Ferrigno will be there. I've met him.
Yeah. Lou Ferrigno's at every convention.
Michael Golden would be cool. And you can actually email him to pre-order a sketch.
Well, see, Michael Golden, he, I wouldn't mind, but at a Wizard World thing, it'd probably be, all right, next.
Doesn't look like he's like Neil Adams, where you have to have a special VIP pass. You might be able to get one, or just hope that he will be out in the hall and you're one of the normal mortals. One of my buddies is actually doing the Neil Adams VIP thing. I think like $200.
And for that, he'll explain his hollow world theory to you in a way that makes sense.
I don't know what. You know,
let's not go crazy, shall we?
And he had met Neil Adams like years ago, and he wants to go do it again, you know. And he's like, whatever. I just have some money. But there's one thing at Wizard World that I really, really would like to get.
Ripped off?
Well, maybe. They have a limited edition variant cover of Hulk number one. It's a black and white Mark Bagley cover. And the only reason I really want it is because on the bottom it says Minneapolis Comic Con. And I really, really dig that just because it has a local connection. I mean, if you remember last year at Spring Con, I talked about picking up a Captain Marvel Adventures number 24 because it has this issue. In this issue, Captain Marvel solves the Minneapolis mystery. And you're talking, what was this, 19?
It was the 40s.
It's in the 40s. The mayor of Minneapolis at the time appeared. There was a Booster Gold two-parter that took place in Minneapolis, St. Paul, that Dan Juergens drew. And
the Metrodome got trashed.
And the cool thing, and then now it is trashed. They turned it down for a multi-billion dollar stadium, but it was interesting because they said Minneapolis, St. Paul is one of the few major metropolitan areas that didn't have a superhero based here. And the fun thing was too, is, I think Dan, did he draw people into that?
I don't know.
I'd have to dig that up. I know there was a game jammers or something. Gordon Purcell did a cover where he drew a bunch of the Minneapolis local artists in it. I'd have to look that one up because it was a book that I wasn't buying, but just I picked up that issue because, you know, Gordon had done the cover and there was, it used to be a group of artists, a lot of the same people that come to SpringCon, and they would meet at the comic book college and have like a barbecue every Friday. And, you know, he drew them all in. So that was kind of fun. It was also like what Pete Krause would do when he was doing Powers of Shazam. He would draw in people that we knew. You know, he drew in Butch and Dave and Jess, and there was a cover where you open the page and there's the bartender and Brian Wilson, one of the runners of the Spring Con, was there, big as life. Just a lot of fun. I got somewhere in my vast collection of stuff, I have a couple Transformers for when they actually had a Transformer Comic-Con, not Comic-Con, but a Transformers Con here. Just, you know, I don't collect Transformer toys, but it was just neat because on the bottom it says, you know, St. Paul and the date it happened. And so for $10, let's see, in order to get this $10 book, I've got to pay $35 to get in the con, and then I got to go to the Wizard World store, which is only available at Wizard World shows, and then hope by the time I get there that this limited edition of 2,500 has not sold out. Or I could pay Megabucks and get a VIP attendee and get one of the limited edition 300 colored versions of this Hulk number one that says Minneapolis Comic Con on it.
Colored?
Yeah. Actually, I was mistaken. Mike Grell did the artwork for this. So, and he's actually going to be at the show. So I was just looking down there. They do have a lot of exclusives at the show, but a lot of them are prints done by various artists that'll be there just specifically for this con or the next one if they don't happen to sell out. And you can actually get a Wizard World War Z Disease Minneapolis Comic Con exclusive contact lenses by Exotic Lenses. Or you could get the Hemorrhage contact lens or the Final Stage comp. This had really, none of this has anything to do with comics. But it is, you know, I was also looking at the list of dealers that are going. I don't recognize any of them.
Well, I think we talked in the past how, just how damn expensive it was.
Yeah.
You know, it's over $1,000 for a table.
And some of the ones that are going, it sounds like they're not necessarily comic shops, but it sounds like they're more, I don't recognize it. Like there's one booth that just says Godzilla. So they're either pushing the movie Godzilla or they're going to have Godzilla toys.
Or Godzilla's going to be there.
Oh, I hope.
Sign an autograph.
Yeah, he's been known to be a bit of a diva. He might end up wrecking the town.
How you doing, kids? See my movie.
Hey, see that movie, or I'm going to come and stop you at night.
Now, when I was a kid, they had these conventions. They were Creation did them. I don't know if Creation still exists. But they had ads in the Marvel Comics. You know, Creation is coming to town! And I went to one of the Chicago ones. And, you know, back then they would only have like two or three celebrities. And I think the one I went to, the one celebrity I remember was Terry Gilliam, who was there to push Monty Python's Life of Brian. And now I wish I could go back in time and go, ask him about Harvey Kurtzman. Ask him about working for Harvey Kurtzman. Because everybody was asking Monty Python questions.
Oh.
And Gilliam worked for Harvey Kurtzman on the magazine Help. That's kind of where he got his start. But I went, and that's where I bought my first comic book price guide, which had the EC stuff in it. And there were a lot of comic dealers, but the celebrity stuff, there was a huge line, and everybody wanted to talk to them. And I more wanted to talk to the people who did comics, because to me, they were the rock stars. And then when you and I went to San Diego, they had celebrities there, and I went to a couple panels, like the Futurama panel, and Adult Swim was just starting up, so I went to their panel. But I spent most of my time in Mark Evaner's room, listening to him talk to comic book people. And I was the one who was, Joe, I got John Buscema to sign my Silver Surfer hardcover.
Sweet.
So when it comes to these conventions full of celebrities, I couldn't care less. Hold on a sec. I got to take a quick break to get the cat out of something. Hold on.
Who let the cat out? Who?
The salsa was left open.
Mm-hmm.
And the cat was up, and she likes licking the salsa.
Mm.
But then for the next 2 hours, she's angry. Because salsa is hot.
Hot salsa.
And she spends the time going, sticking her tongue out and shaking her head and being angry that, you know, basically that there were some habaneros in there. So she likes the taste and hates the afterburn.
Burn.
But you know, the whole Wizard World thing, they're not going to have bargain bins for me to dig through. There's nobody going to be there with three tables of trade paperbacks that they're dumping for $3 to $4 to $5 each. There's not going to be quarter boxes and dollar
boxes.
It's not a
Comic-Con.
No, it's not.
You know,
they call it a Comic-Con simply because when you say Comic-Con, people think San Diego. And it's, oh, this must be the same thing. I hear about San Diego.
Yeah.
And
I still
hate Wizard. Wizard caused so much damage to the comics industry in the 90s. And Garib Sheamus is still involved in Wizard World, no matter what they say. You know, because you go to the website, you're not going to find his name. You have to actually look in the prospectus, because they're a publicly held company. He's playing with your money. His name is hidden away in there. He and his family still run it, even though they said years ago, we're walking away because we've got so many people mad at us. But that's why DC's not there. That's why Marvel's not there. That's why none of the publishers are there, because he screwed them over and over.
You know,
to the point where I've heard editors say, if Garib Sheamus is within 20 miles of a show, they won't allow anybody who's under contract at that publisher to work there.
You know, and the sad thing about it.
There's my rant.
We've talked about it. You know, it's the MCBA. It's a volunteer comic book group. And, you know, we've been with them for years. And they're very generous with cross promoting. They've promoted other comic shows in the Twin Cities. They've promoted shows outside the Twin Cities. They really don't. It's, you know, there's room for everybody. We're not exclusive. They're not exclusive. They, you know, it's like they say, something for everyone and everywhere for something. Everyone is welcome. Wizard World just, you know, after they realized there wasn't a tangible asset to buy because it's all volunteer run, they basically set up on purpose 2 weeks before the MCBA to try to steal the thunder. Will it work? Will it not work? We'll find out when we talk about it after the MCBA show. You know, what makes me sad though is that I have more people coming up to me that I never knew collected comics telling me about the Wizard World show because everybody's excited to go spend their $170 to go to it. And I keep telling them, well, you know, there's another show. Really? I've never heard of them. And I'm like, I don't understand how you cannot hear of show. I hear about every show that happens in the Twin Cities. Whether I can go to every show or not, it's a different matter. But it's just sad to think that these, you know, Wizard World's going to come in and just be the 800-pound gorilla in the room. You know, again, they got a lot of things on their own merit. And if you've got tons of money to drop to go see Adam Baldwin or Robert Englund or Sarah Underwood, you know, go for it. I mean, again, if I had the money and the time, I would probably go try to see William Shatner just because I want to see him. You know, they also have I'm just looking at their exhibitors and retailers, and I don't recognize many of them. There's a few, like Heroes Initiative is there, that we've talked about them in the past. Neil Adams will be there selling his stuff. Godzilla. I hope they get CGC will be there. You know, they've been at the MCBA. So it'll be interesting to see, you know. And like I said, the one guy who's going, I'll probably give him a buzz and, you know, see what he thinks. You know, if he hasn't, he's going specifically to see Neil Adams, but, you know, he's obviously going to spend some time there. I'll be curious to see how it plays off. I mean, there's groups in both that, you know, some people are saying they're hoping that Wizard crashes and burns. to me, it's always a thing. It looks like they're reaching for a different type of congoer, you know? I just hope just Wizard World's tactics don't end up hurting Spring Con, and I hope they don't end up hurting themselves. Really, there's enough room for both, but, you know, just the way Wizard World's doing their thing, it's just not cool. They've done it in other cities. You know, if they can't take over, they just try to run the other guys out of town. And it's like, you know, the funny thing is, you're not going to drive the Midwest Comic Book Association out, because it's an all-volunteer group who loves comics. And unless you figure out a way to get those volunteers to stop volunteering or get them to stop loving comics, it's not going to happen. Spring Con and Fall Con is going to happen.
And we have the inside track. You know, we know what happened because we talked to the people it happened with.
It was in Comic Resources. I mean, you know.
Well, here's the thing. The people at Wizard are lying through their teeth. Because what happened was they called up Nick and said, we want to buy your convention from you. And Nick said no. So they plopped their convention down 2 weeks before. And now they're going around, because Nick, he has no trouble telling the truth about stuff like this. When it happened, he said, yeah, they tried to buy us. We told him no. And they you know, did this stuff. And the people from Wizard are like, we've never heard of the Minnesota Comic Book Association. We have no idea what they're talking about. And that's the only time we could find that the Minneapolis Convention Center was free. It's like, no, because the Minneapolis Convention Center is free the week after, the 2 weeks after, a month after.
Yep. And not to mention they're doing it on Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
Which is really, you know, kind of a crappy thing to do to the local retailers in town as well. Which could be why.
Well, I know the local retailers are not happy with them.
Yeah, and that's probably.
But then again,
I don't see.
They can afford the tables.
I can't see any local retailers there. You know, I don't see.
Well, they can't afford it.
Yeah.
$1,000 for a 6 foot table. And I think it's more than that.
It'll be interesting to see how it works out. You know, will there be another Comic Wizard Con? And if it is, it'll probably happen 2 weeks before Fall Con. That'll be my bet.
Yeah. So anyway.
I'm trying to play devil's advocate. You know, I mean, everybody's like, yeah, we want to get to Chicago, get to C2, whatever. You know, that's just another.
C2E2.
Yeah.
The thing I like about C2E2 is Wizard bought the Chicago Comic Convention. Just like, you know, they tried to do with our convention here. They bought it, and the first year they ran it like it had been run in the past. By the second year, they're treating the comic book creators as if they're, you know, lower than pawn scum. They're shuttling in all of Aaron Gray's clients, because Aaron Gray from Buck Rogers, her career now is getting these people. You know, pretty much, if you've worked in a science fiction show at some point in your life, Aaron Gray works with you to get you convention bookings. And what Wizard World is, they partnered with her. Boom, all of her clients are there. Your Lou Ferrigno's, all these guys. And it got to the point where the comic fans in Chicago went, you know what? This isn't a comic book convention anymore. We miss the Chicago Comic Con. We're going to have one. And Wizard World tried to strangle them out of existence. You know, they announced their date, and I think Wizard World was either like the week before or the week after. And it didn't work, because comic fans were like, well, let's see, I could go to a comic book convention where you're going to have Marvel and you're going to have DC and you're going to have this guy and 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 this guy. Or I could go see Lou Ferrigno again. I think I'm going to go to the comic convention. Now, there's nothing wrong with the Star Trek convention. There's nothing wrong with the media convention. I just could not possibly care less. If you like that sort of thing, there it is. Good for you.
I would like to go, and I still may, as a professional courtesy to our podcast listeners, go. But, I mean, it's $35 just to get in.
Yeah. And you don't get to talk to anybody. You don't get to take anybody's picture.
Well, I think you could probably take pictures, but it's going to be like a, you know, long distance zoom lens, and hopefully nobody photobombs it.
Well, and then they're going to go, paparazzi!
Well, I figure either way, you know, if I don't go, I'll talk to the guy I know that is going, and we'll get a report from him, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, I've done enough freaking, so maybe it's time for Joe to start freaking and geeking.
That's all I have to say about that.
Freaking and geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
I can't do Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
And we were talking, I was bitching, but I can't see William Shatner. I got to work that day.
We're going to have to find a hookup.
Yeah. And I haven't read any comic books lately.
Really?
I sat down last night. Spring has finally sprung in Minnesota, so we were real excited. And I lined up all my comic books. I grabbed all my Justice League America, my Justice League Dark. And I was going to sit down. I started reading them. And then I realized I was missing a single issue of Justice League. I did have one after. And I thought, I'm not going to. I don't want to read ahead. I want to just, I've got it somewhere. I just got to find it. Okay. Then I turned around and read Justice League America. And same thing.
Justice League Canada.
I am missing an issue, and I have an issue after that one. So wait a minute. I quickly look forward to Justice League Dark. Same thing. All the Forever Evil. I'm missing the same month. I said, okay. I either screwed up when I was ordering or just it didn't work. So I came back in. I started going through. I'll just read some Avengers. I'm missing a single issue of Avengers. Okay, I'll read Miracle Man 1. I don't have Miracle Man 1. All-Star X. I am missing an All-Star. I am missing the entire month of December of all my comics.
Uh-oh.
Such is the price I pay for going to Hawaii. Now, I had already gone out and bought Harley Quinn number 2 for my daughter because, you know, she was missing it. I figured I just screwed up because I ordered one. I figured I'd pick up 2 at the source, and so I did. And then I figure, okay, well, let's go look. I look at my discount. No, I did order my comics. I just don't know where they are. Did I get them? Okay, usually about this time, I give my wife a call. And, of course, she's like, I have no idea what happened. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, you cleaned my room while I was in Hawaii. And everything that you cleaned is in downstairs. I'm just wondering if you had seen any comics. She said, no, everything's in the one spot. And I'm like, there is no way a box of comics was set on my doorstep and somebody walked over, picked it up, and walked away with it. That would be like $200+ of comics gone. And then I'm thinking, as I'm trying to, you know, because obviously, you know, when over Christmas I was, you know, notably distracted by the Hawaiian sun, I was just trying to think of, okay, I know I looked at Miracle Man number 1. I do have those comics somewhere. Where? About 4 hours later, I found my stack of comics.
And?
Oh, it was in a drawer right in front of where I'm sitting right now. So I must have, you know, taken it and put it in the drawer. And
I'll put it here.
Yeah. So I didn't get to read any comics this week. Well, except the 2 so-so Justice League, which, you know, like I said, I'm dropping everything after Forever Evil. Corey, what you freaking on? What's bugging you? What's got you honked off, torqued off, ready to just, you know, open up all your toys and their mint boxes and just draw the eyes and all the Batmans you got?
Joe, you've got the Netflix, right?
Somewhere.
Do you get the discs in the mail?
No, we dropped that the minute they offered it.
I get the discs in the mail, and there was one movie that I was very much looking forward to. I like weird, strange, offbeat, 50s, 60s, no-budget exploitation crap. I also make no bones about the fact that it is crap. There was a movie that was in my Netflix queue. Oh, we're going to send it to you. Boom, they send it. I get it. It's the wrong movie. Someone had put the wrong DVD in the sleeve at some point somewhere. So I go online. I go, yep, the wrong movie. And it's, of course, oh, we'll send you the movie that you wanted. Just send that back. I send it back. I get the disc. The disc has a big crack in it. It's broken. It won't play. So I do the same thing. Up, oh, disc is broken. They go, sorry, those are the only two copies of this movie we have. So I had to watch other things this weekend. Some good, some not so good. But I'm freaking over that because I was actually this weekend. It was, I have 3 days off. I can watch good stuff. Oh, I have time to watch crap. But I didn't have the crap to watch. Let's see. Other thing I'm freaking about. Still a temp at my job. Contractor, as they say. But still getting great reviews. Actually, the temp agency called today to ask, you know, are you still liking the job? Do you still want to be there? And they said, and we are getting nothing but great reviews for you. So if that assignment does end, we'll be able to line something up for you within minutes. I was like, oh, okay. But I still, you know, I'm a temp, so no benefits. They could tell me any day that, oh, your assignment is up. Yeah. So there's still that where you feel like you're walking on ice. And summer is coming, so I don't really get days off. I won't get vacation time. I got the holiday off, no holiday pay, so, you know, there's that. Trying to think if there's anything else I'm freaking about. I saw how long the current season of Mad Men is, because they've split it in two. It's going to be 7 episodes, I think. Either 7 or 8 episodes. And then we wait a year for the second half of the season of 6 or 7 episodes. I hate when they do that. And now they're separating it by a year. Are you brushing your teeth?
No. I'm just, you know, typing.
I got a podcast partner who doesn't listen to me and doesn't pay attention.
I didn't eat my Milky Way yet. I'm kind of freaking on that.
And that's really about it. I think that's enough.
I thought it could be.
Joe, what are you geeking on? What are you loving? What are you looking forward to? What are you all gamed and giddy fanboyish for?
Well, I'm still cranking away on eBay. I didn't...
What'd you sell?
You know, about a week ago, and most of my auctions last a week, I ended up just relisting a bunch of stuff that I hadn't sold the first time around. And I've actually had a pretty good week of reselling them. You know, most of the time I blow stuff out for a buck or less. Well, it starts at a buck, 99 cents and go, you know, up. But this time around, I actually got a little bit of action. A lot of the stuff ended up going for $2 to $3. We're talking like the X-Men versus Avengers versus X-Men variants, you know, the I'm with X-Men, I'm with Avengers. I had a couple Infinite Crisis second print variants, and they were all either Jim Lee or George Perez sketches. I did have a Utopia #1, which was a Dark Avengers Uncanny X-Men crossover. This was the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive variant. I sold a Stan Lee Soldier Zero #1 Hastings variant. And that one I picked up when I was hanging a couple of years ago in New Mexico because they had a Hastings in town and that was my comic shop at the time. These are all old podcast stuff. So it's like all these old comics that I picked up a while back. I'm just like, time to get rid of them. Not everything was decent. I mean, I did sell a Amazing Spider-Man Swing Shift Director Cut for $1. A couple Uncanny X-Men 500 variants for $2. So, again, I just, like I said, I just relisted a bunch of stuff and, you know, it's just stuff I'm trying to get rid of. I'm kind of losing the variant touch, but not all of it. Because I didn't stop at the source. Kind of a geeking note, with the change of shift, I can't hang out with my buddy Rob anymore. We used to get off work on Saturday at 8 and go to the source. Friday, Saturday night at the source, they do their gaming and they stay open till midnight. This one was kind of weird because we got there and the place was pretty empty except for, you know, normal shoppers, totally silent. And they had had an event earlier that day, so they didn't have any gaming going on. So we wandered through the room, and I picked up a number of variants. Some of them are books that I did not order, but I want to try. I picked up Daredevil 1.5, Hulk number 1 variant, and then I picked up a Solar Man of Atom variant. And what I'll do with these books is I'll read them, and if I like them, I'll keep them. If not, I'll probably just turn around tomorrow and put them on eBay. Now, there were a couple of variants I picked up that were kind of cool. I found a Shadow Now number 1 variant that had the source variant cover on it, which was really cool because it had the shadow on top of a car, and in the background they're whizzing by a billboard that says Source Comics and Game. And then Nick also ordered the Solar Man of Atom variant, which has Solar flying forward, and he's bursting his ghastly green power. He's highlighting Source Comics and Games across the bottom of it. I have a number of these comics that I've sold or that I picked up over the years, and most of them I keep just because they're of stores that I've been to that I've bought things from. So I thought those are kind of cool. You know, even if I, you know, these type of variants probably won't ever go up in value, but it is kind of nice. And I do like to support the source because they're my comic shop of choice. Haven't really watched much TV. I did get to watch a couple of the Ultimate Warrior specials on the WWE Network. That's kind of fun. I can just call it up on my phone anytime I want or call it up anytime. Oh, by the way.
You call it?
Call it.
Does it answer?
It does.
Does it say WWE Network? How may I help you today?
Well, usually it says, do you want to buy us for $10 or sign on? And I'm like, I'm already buying you. So just lead me to the shows. And I turned on and it was the match, WrestleMania 6, Hulk Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior. So that was fun to watch. I had never watched it because at that time I was kind of getting away from wrestling, one of my down phases.
That was actually the first, WrestleMania I watched. It's when I started to get hooked on wrestling. And I like that match.
I thought it was very well done
and it holds up.
Oh, by the way, just remember if you are going to eBay under the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, if you do win something, send me a note and I will toss something in my vast accumulation of stuff and toss it in for free. And believe me, my wife will thank you for it because right now I have the dining room table filled with comics I'm trying to get ready to sell and she's very, very annoyed at me. Also, I'm still having fun with, Simpsons Tapped Out. The name's Crazy Joe, so if you want to play, go ahead, look me up, send me a friend request. The update theme is, instead of Whacking Day this year, an invasion of bunnies has invaded Springfield. And so every time you see a horde of rabbits running around, you thump them and you get an egg. And you turn in the eggs for really stupid-ass prizes, even though they have really, really cool prizes, but you won't get those unless you spend a lot of money. I'm just doing it for free. As far as movies go, I had to laugh because the other day when I got home from work, Chris was just watching movies. We did cut back our cable/dish, but as part of the deal, they gave us all of HBO, Stars, a couple of the other like Sundance channels, Independent Film Channel, and there's a few other ones. So we got just these oodles of channels of movies that we can watch. And so we just go through, and usually we just set them and record them to watch them later. But I came home and Chris was watching the end of one, and so we snuggled up and we're flipping channels, and I decided, hey, there's Police Academy, uncut. So we watched Police Academy, which is still pretty funny. And this was the first one. Okay. And then, I flipped around again and I watched Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2.
Oh.
Which was amazing because Chris actually watched it with me. No, let me rephrase that. Chris fell asleep in my lap. I watched Godzilla. Other than the updated special effects with rubber monsters, it really wasn't that good a movie, but it was fun to watch. And then she woke up and we finished a couple episodes of MASH. So that's pretty much it. And then, of course, my new schedule starts this week. Because I'm doing 10-hour days, I have 3 days off this week. So I have tomorrow off, which for us, we're recording this on Monday. That would be I have Sunday, Monday, Tuesdays off. So I got that going for me.
There you go.
Which is nice. Corey, what you geeking on?
Comic-wise, I actually got to read some funny books.
I'm so jealous.
And some that I liked.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
One of the things that I keep running across over and over is, you know, I'm trying to thin down the herd. Unlike Corey, which has he has a wonderful room of comics, which is incredible. At least I think you did. I don't know
now it's in storage.
Oh, okay. Either way, is everything in your collection read, or do you still have vast accumulation?
Oh, I have vast boxes of stuff that I have not read. That is the stuff that is not in the storage unit.
Because see, that's my problem as I go through stuff, and you know, I've complained about some of it. Like here, I have Amazing Spider-Man Annual number 39, erased from existence and out of time. Don't recall if I've ever read it. So, you know, again, is it one I'm going to keep, one I'm not going to keep? Don't know. But, I was just wondering how I try to keep my comics when I get them in. I try to keep them in a box, alphabetical. And then when I read a batch, I take it out and put it in a different box. How do you track the stuff you haven't read?
They are in separate boxes. The stuff I've read, I put in one box. The stuff I haven't read is in another box.
Okay, so I'm halfway there. I just have to learn, like, when I pick up two long boxes worth of comics at a, like, Spring Con. Seriously, I'm like...
You note them somehow that I have not read these.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, I got a run of World Finest from the dollar bins. I have early Vampirillas, number 1 through 5. I've got first issue specials from the 70s. You know,
The Green Team.
Dingbats. Yeah, exactly.
Dingbats from Danger Street.
For some reason, I've got 3 copies of Iron Jaw, number 1 from Atlas Comics. I've got all the Mystery Quarterlies. I've got a bunch of Brave and Bold 100 Pagers. Shanna the She-Devil. I've got all these books I've never read. I lose track of them, you know, even like before I got this harebrained idea that I was going to sell off some of it, you know, I'd be going through a collection of comics and it's like, hey, look, here's a run of Ragmop. Never read it, but I got it. Not just me.
So I read some comics.
I'm so jealous.
Daredevil has started over with the new number 1. Because he's now in San Francisco. And then they did a Daredevil 1.50 to celebrate the fact that Daredevil is 50.
Ah, and that's the one, that must be the one I picked up.
And it's got a story of Matt Murdock when he's 50, as well as some other, you know, it's an extra size book. It's got, and I really liked it. Thought it was very well done. I love Mark Waid's Daredevil. And could not enjoy it more. There's a lot of talk about how Hawkeye, Marvel's best book. Daredevil's right up there. And I do like that Waid is able to use Daredevil's villains in a way, because most of them are just goofy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the owl is goofy. he picked up a spot from Spider-Man, which one of the goofiest goddamn villains of the 80s. And he made the spot scary. He's making the owl interesting. And I like that a lot better than what Marvel does with some of their older villains. Well, they don't do it as much. But what they used to do with their older villains is, well, gosh, that's a silly idea. Let's make him into a goof. And when you do that, you kind of cut down on the villains that you can use as an actual threat. So, like with Captain America, eventually it gets to the point where, well, the only villains that are any good are the Red Skull and Arnim Zola, because everybody else has been, you know, an idiot and a goofball. And one of the things Brubaker did I liked is he took Crossbones, who'd been, you know, cannon fodder for years, turned him into a villain that you would go, holy crap, this guy's scary. So I really enjoyed that. There is a Nightcrawler series written by Chris Claremont and drawn by Todd Nyuk. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And I was very, very, very surprised because Todd, N-A-U-C-K, he did, I forget what the name of the book was, like Spy Boy is the one I remember. But he's always drawn kind of the anime, very cartoony style. But on this book, he's drawing a lot like Dave Cockrum. It's a more serious style. And Claremont does not do the Claremont, every page is a data dump. It's a good story, establishes Nightcrawler, establishes a supporting cast, lets us know what his status is in the X-Men. Good first issue. Claremont was asking people, saying, look, I haven't written a regular comic for years. What do you guys think? And I sent him a quick email saying, I like that you've adapted to the new, less verbal style. I like that you set everything up, but it feels like the story had a beginning, middle, and end. You could read that one issue, and yeah, you want to read the next one, but you feel like you got a whole story. And it's the first time with a Claremont book I've been able to say that since the 80s. I feel horrible. I didn't put that in the email. But Claremont used to be my favorite comic writer, and by the mid to late 80s, all of his tics took over, and it was just, he'd created all these cliches. But it seems like the break he's had from writing comics has really done him a lot of good at putting together good stories. Another Marvel number one I liked is All New Dupe. I love the character Dupe. I think the character Dupe is one of the more interesting X-Men there is. Joe?
Okay, Dupe. Isn't he supposed to be one of the most powerful characters in the Marvel Universe, or is that Squirrel Girl?
Well, both.
Okay.
But when you think of Dupe, what do you think?
Slimer from Ghostbusters.
This story kind of establishes that Dupe is able to pass through kind of the sides of a story. He slides into a story where he's needed and out of a story when he's not needed. There's a lot of breaking the fourth wall in a way. And it's a really interesting take on the character. It's by the original creator, Pete Milligan. And it's just a very fun book. I was surprised at how much I liked it and how it does tie in with what's going on in the Marvel books. And those are the big things I'm geeking on comic-wise. TV-wise, oh, my God, I saw the season finale of Justified. That show is so good. I am so upset that next season's the last season, but they have set it up to, okay, we're finally going to get the big confrontation we've been waiting 5 seasons for. If you have not seen Justified, it is available. I think it's on Netflix. It's on Amazon Prime. The DVDs are out. Justified is the best crime TV series going right now.
So you'd be justified in watching it.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Thank you.
First 2 episodes of Mad Men. are out. If you love the show, these episodes are great. It is weird because I'm following there. A lot of people who had heard about the show started watching it and they're like, I don't know what's going on. It's so slow. It's so boring. But the thing is, it's very detailed. So it's not a show with a lot of dialogue. It's a show where the stuff that has happened in previous episodes, there's kind of a weight to it. It's like reading a novel instead of a short story. And the other thing I'm geeking on, Joe, we may have a cousin podcast.
Ooh.
I think I have talked one of my friends into starting his own podcast.
Cool.
He is an expert on, universal horror movies, but a lot of the stuff that's on Turner Classic. When I go and visit him and Turner Classic's on, he and one of his friends will sit and they'll tell, you know, they used that set in this movie and this movie and this movie. And then they'll start telling stories about the actors. And I always feel when I leave their house, like, my brain is full of new information. And I think I've talked him into, doing a new podcast.
Cool.
I have some, interviews lined up for the solo podcast that, gonna be fun. Also starting up the couple of things with the solo podcast as well. Some long, gonna get back to the Kirby, the history of Jack Kirby. I'm gonna start the history of EC. And, one of the things I'm geeking on that I'm gonna, that we talked a little about on one of my other podcasts. If you listen to the Greg Theakston interview, he talked about how he's got this 2 hours of video footage of him just sitting down and talking with Jack Kirby. You can order it. He's just going to make 200 copies onto a DVD to raise money for putting it together as a film. And you can order it. You just have to email him at paintandprint, paintnprint, at AOL.com. Tell him we sent you. And $25 will get you the raw footage on a DVD. There's only going to be 200 of them. And I better hurry and place my order before the podcast goes up because I want me a copy. And you know what else I'm geeking about, Joe?
That you have a better shave from the Dollar Shave Club?
Well, that too.
Okay.
These guys, our sponsors.
Woohoo!
Crazy Comics and Stories is brought to you by DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best, bar none, web host in the whole known universe. And you can save $20 on your first year of web hosting. Just use the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, and you get $20 off your first year of hosting. Graze.com is healthy snacks delivered right to your door. And if you use the code CORY, S-3-R-5-P, that's C-O-R-Y-S-3-R-5-P, you get your first and fifth box free. Go to Graze.com to find out more. If you want to contact us at Crazy Comics and Stories, you can. You can either go to our Facebook fan page at Crazy Comics and Stuff. You can email us at Corey.Strode@gmail.com, or you can call us at 952-856-0519. When you do that, we will read or play your comment on the air. If you want to advertise on Crazy Comics and Stories, you can. Just go ahead and email me at Corey.Strode@gmail.com, subject advertising. Thanks. And there you go. That's what I'm geeking on.
And you know, Corey, Jesus loves you. Everyone else thinks you're an asshole.
Yeah, I'm pretty much used to that. I don't know. I wonder if Jesus is still upset about the jokes I've told about.
Oh, he's going to talk to you, but not till after you die.
Well, by then, I don't care.
True.
Oh, I do have one more freaking. We'll close on a freaking.
Ooh, cool.
One of my favorite liberal radio hosts is calling it quits.
Uh-oh.
Randy Rhodes.
Not because Brock Lesnar defeated the Undertaker's undefeated streak at WrestleMania 30, was it?
Nope, she hasn't announced why, but she has been in radio for like 20-some years. And it could be she's just saying, you know what, I've had it with taking phone calls from people. But Randy Rhodes will be ending her show next month. And I'm not going to say I'm a religious listener. I listen in from time to time, but I always learn something when I listen to her, and she's going to be ending her show. So, less time for radio, which means more time for podcasts and funny books.
So your sacrifices is their gain.
Well, believe it or not, kids, you've spent another hour and change listening to us blather on about funny books.
And bitching about Comic-Cons. And
Comic-Cons. I have a final geeking, Joe.
Ooh, this is a...
Let me open my mail here, okay?
Okay, I'm going to open up the rest of my Milky Way here.
I'll open my mail here. I hold in my hot little hands the 2014-2015 Sinister Cinema Catalog.
Dun, dun, dun.
And no, they are not a sponsor. They don't sponsor anything. But they sell a lot of old movies that are public domain on DVD, a lot of obscure stuff. Let's see. I'll just open to a random page. And let's see what we have here. I'm just going to read a couple descriptions. Let's see. The Monster's Demolisher from 1960. A professor and a vampire hunter join forces to destroy the murderous vampire Nostradamus and his minion. More K. Gordon Murray dubbed Mexican chills. Awful but hard to resist. Mill of the Stone Women. I'm not going to read any of the actors because you're not going to know their names. If I don't know their names, you don't know their names. An exhibit of odd female statues in an old windmill is a bizarre front for a mad scientist who's murdering girls and using their blood to keep his daughter alive. The statues, needless to say, aren't what they appear to be. A nightmarish, gruesome film. Let's see. Oh, they got Little Shop of Horrors, probably the best movie made in less than 3 days. A cult classic about a wimpy nursery worker who breeds a man-eating plant with a huge appetite. Jack Nicholson has a hilarious bit as a masochist in a dentist's office. So, more DVDs, Joe. More DVDs.
So we may never hear from you again.
Well, you keep hearing from me now.
Yeah, that's true.
I got to talk to somebody. But as I said, as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic you like the most. Joe?
I like my fangirls how I like my coffee. I hate coffee. Somebody hit my music. Fuck is on a roll.